Married at First Sight. Chapter 4310. You have the whole park booked for this hour. Shall we take the night tour? Catherine asked with a smile. She decided to leave the bouquet in the car because she thought it would be in the way. Pedro closed the car door, took her hand and led her to the park entrance. As they approached, the security captain stepped forward and reported, "Mister, the park is completely deserted now. We have also cleared the square. Everything is safe."
"Thank you," Pedro said sincerely.
"No problem," the captain replied. It was their job, after all. The park was nearly deserted at this late hour. Pedro had rented out the open square just for the fireworks tonight. Everything had been pre-approved, so all that remained was to make sure the area remained clear. In the center of the park, there is a spacious square next to a wide lawn. Every year, during the Lantern Festival and Mid-Autumn Festival, the local government organizes fireworks displays here, sponsored by many companies. For a city where even fireworks are banned on New Year's and other holidays, getting to see a fireworks show here twice a year is a rare and exciting event. As they walked through the park, Catherine glanced at Pedro and asked eagerly, "Are you finally going to tell me what surprise you have for me? I can't wait to hear that." Pedro brownled, "It's so late, no need to ask any more. You'll see for yourself in a moment." When they arrived at the square, Catherine noticed that there were more security personnel stationed around the area. Although this was the safest place to set off fireworks, strict fire safety measures were still in place. Then her eyes widened when she saw a large stack of unlit fireworks lined up in the middle of the square. "Fireworks? You're going to set off fireworks here," she exclaimed, excitement evident. A smile spread across her face. "I haven't seen fireworks in a long time, except on TV. Back home, I used to watch other people set off fireworks, but I've never made my own. They didn't want to spend money to buy fireworks for me, so I could only watch." Pedro gently squeezed her hand and asked, "Do you want to light them yourself? The whole row will burn." Pedro pointed to a truck in the distance and said, "There are a lot more trucks over there." He wanted her to see as many fireworks as she wanted. "Okay." Catherine eagerly agreed. She and Pedro each lit a box of fireworks, while security handled the rest. As soon as they lit the fire, Pedro grabbed Catherine's hand and pulled her to a safe distance. With a loud bang, the fireworks shot up into the dark night sky. A second later, they exploded with a resounding bang, scattering into brilliant patterns. As more than a dozen boxes were detonated at the same time, the entire sky lit up in a spectacular display of color. "So beautiful! So beautiful!" Catherine looked up at the brilliant lights, her eyes filled with wonder. She couldn't help but admire their beauty. She quickly pulled out her phone to capture the moment. She wasn't the only one, everyone around took out their phones to record this spectacular scene. Pedro looked at her with an affectionate smile. "Do you like it?" he asked. Catherine's smile lit up like fireworks above their heads. Still in a daze, she replied, "I love it. Pedro, this surprise. I love it." The fireworks were amazing. Pedro walked behind her, put his arms around her waist, looked up at the sky with her, and said softly, "As long as you love me, I will make sure you can watch the fireworks anytime you want." Catherine leaned into him for a moment before laughing. "Pedro, I don't have time for romance right now, let me finish recording first. Wow, look. The last few shots are the best." Married at First Sight 4311-4315. Pedro holds Catherine in his arms as she records the fireworks display. The fireworks display he is preparing will last for 30 minutes. Looking at her smile, his heart warmed. As long as she was happy, anything was worth it. That night, many residents of Zhongqing witnessed the brilliant fireworks lighting up the sky over the suburbs. The spectacular performance lasted all night, shining brightly for all to admire.
People began to wonder who was celebrating with such a grand fireworks display. Some even speculated that it was a wedding, as the spectacle was visible from the city. As the final fireworks faded, Catherine turned to Pedro reluctantly.
Pedro, thank you. This is truly a wonderful surprise. I love it. She stuffed her phone into her pocket, then turned to face him. She threw her arms around his neck, screaming happily, Pedro, I love you.
Pedro looked at her affectionately and replied, Catherine, I love you even more. They hugged each other tightly before giving each other a deep and passionate kiss. Then Pedro gently took her hand and said, Catherine, let's go home. It's late and it's cold.
Okay, let's go home, she agreed.
They walked out of the park holding hands. It was already late at night when Catherine returned to the Fung mansion. Pedro took her inside but did not stay. Since they had not registered their marriage yet, he would not stay at the Farrell family's house. Moreover, this mansion now belonged to Liberty. Catherine sat down on the sofa, still holding the bouquet of flowers Pedro had given her when he proposed. Just then, footsteps echoed from the stairs. Liberty came down, wearing her nightgown, and looked at Catherine with concern.
You just got out of the hospital, and you're running out into the cold night and coming back so late.
Pedro spoils you too much, but no matter how much he spoils you, he should be concerned about your health, she said as she approached. Her eyes stopped at the bouquet of flowers Catherine was holding.
Pedro gave you these?
Wait, he proposed to you. A smile appeared on Liberty's face as she noticed the diamond ring on Catherine's hand.
That's right.
Tonight, well, I guess technically last night he took me out to dinner and proposed to me in front of a crowd at the hotel entrance, Catherine said, her voice filled with excitement. Then he took me to the suburbs to set off fireworks. They were really beautiful and lasted for 30 minutes. I took a lot of videos.
Hailing, let me show you.
Catherine's happiness is contagious. She can't wait to share it with someone, and Liberty is the perfect person. Liberty's eyes widened in realization.
So that fireworks display was for you?
I saw it from my office window. The whole night sky lit up. Everyone was wondering who was so extravagant as to set off fireworks for half an hour. Turns out, it was my Pedro.
Catherine grinned as she sent the video to Liberty.
What a surprise! I never expected him to do something like that to me. Fireworks are not allowed in the city anymore. When I lived with my foster mother, I could still see fireworks during Lunar New Year, but they were nothing compared to what Pedro arranged.
Liberty browncled, of course not.
Not everyone is as generous as Pedro. Pedro really admires Catherine. Knowing her past hardships, the abuse she endured at the hands of her foster parents, he understands what she craves most.
Married at first sight.
Liberty took Catherine's hand and said warmly, Catherine, I wish you and Pedro a long and happy life together. Forget the difficulties of the past and focus on the future. You know, Serenity and I have also experienced a lot of unfair treatment, but we chose to let go of hatred. Since then, life has become much easier. The so-called relatives who treated my sisters and I badly now have to rely on us for a living. Our happiness and success is the best revenge.
Catherine's smile faded as she fell into deep thought.
After a moment of silence, she nodded and said, You're right. We should both move forward. The two hugged each other, feeling comfortable with their shared understanding. As they parted ways, their eyes were filled with support, encouragement, and sincere wishes for each other. Just then, beep, beep, Catherine's phone rang with a new WeChat message. She glanced at the screen. It was a text from Pedro, reminding her to go to bed early. She smiled, quickly replied, and then texted back, Tomorrow we will go to the Civil Affairs Bureau to get a marriage certificate. Pedro's response came almost immediately.
It was exactly what I wanted.
Catherine turned to Liberty, her excitement evident.
Liberty, I've decided.
Tomorrow, Pedro and I are going to get our marriage license.
Congratulations.
Liberty said with a bright smile. Get some rest. You don't have to wake up too early, sleep until about 9, have a good breakfast, put on some light makeup, and go out looking your best. Duncan and I are taking you and Pedro out for lunch to celebrate. Thank you, Catherine said gratefully. I am so lucky to have you here to share my happiness. Liberty's smile deepened. We're friends. Now, go to sleep. Catherine hummed softly in response. The two of them went upstairs together and returned to their room. Liberty gently pushed the door open and entered, careful not to make any noise for fear of disturbing Duncan. But as soon as she closed the door, the lights turned on. Duncan's voice echoed through the door. Where have you been in the middle of the night? I woke up and looked around, but my wife was gone. He was leaning against the bedroom door, looking like he was about to go out and find her. Liberty walked over to him, took his arm, and led him back to the bedroom. They sat down together on the bed. Catherine just got home. I want to check on her. She just got out of the hospital and is still recovering. Duncan nodded, understanding his wife's concern. Where did she go? Pedro took her out to dinner and proposed to her. They're getting married tomorrow, Liberty said, then added with a smile, by the way, do you know who set off fireworks for half an hour tonight? It was Pedro. That whole fireworks display was his surprise for Catherine. It was spectacular. The night sky over Zhongqing was lit up really beautiful. Duncan pulled her into his arms and fell happily onto the bed. You like fireworks too? I could buy more and burn them for an hour twice as long as Pedro burned them for Catherine. Liberty nudged him, smiling and saying, come on, we're an old couple now. There's no need to waste money on that. It's not even Tet yet. Duncan turned to her with a teasing smile. Old couple? We just got our marriage certificate before the new year. We haven't even had a wedding ceremony yet, we're still newlyweds. He kissed her cheek and continued, when we get married, I will prepare a fireworks display just for you and Sunny. But I won't do it now, or Pedro will say I copied him. Liberty sneered, you learned it all from him. If I hadn't mentioned it, you wouldn't have thought of it. Duncan brown-cled, knowing she was right. He had never been the romantic type. He wasn't good at sweet talk or flashy gestures. His idea of romance was learning from others and occasionally giving Liberty flowers or jewelry to make her happy. Married at first sight. Didn't Pedro get the idea from someone else? I don't believe he came up with it himself, Liberty teased. Duncan tries to defend himself but eventually admits, I'm not a romantic. That's who I am, that's my nature, and I can't change it. He looked at her seriously and added, if you regret marrying me, then that's too bad. There's no turning back now. You're stuck with a rude man like me who doesn't understand anything about love. Before Liberty could reply, Duncan kissed her and pulled her into his arms. Then, as they lay side by side, Liberty suddenly realized something. You didn't use any protection. We don't have birth control pills at home either, she added, squinting at him. Duncan shrugged. You should be in a safe period, so it should be fine. No period is 100% safe. Accidents can still happen, she reminded him. After a moment of silence, Duncan said, all right, if you're really pregnant, then we'll have a baby. Sunny has already started kindergarten and is studying at Van Ton. Without the child around, the house becomes too quiet. But we haven't even had a wedding yet, Liberty pointed out. If I were pregnant, it would be exhausting to plan and attend a wedding while carrying a big belly. Duncan thought for a moment, wait until you lead them to the ancestral worship ceremony and officially become the head of the Feng family, then we can start planning the wedding. If you are really pregnant, it won't be obvious right away. He reached out and gently touched her belly, a hopeful smile on his face. I really want it to be a girl, someone who looks like you and is also smart and lovely like Sunny. Having a second daughter means they will have both a son and a daughter, and they don't need to try for a third child. Liberty looked at him suspiciously. Did you do that on purpose? What are you trying to do? You deliberately did not take any precautions because you wanted me to get pregnant, she accused. Duncan shook his head, looking innocent. Of course not. You said you didn't want a second child so soon, so I've always been careful. This time, I just got carried away. He really didn't have any plans. He knew how busy Liberty was and how demanding pregnancy could be. The last thing he wanted was to put more pressure on her. How could he intentionally get her pregnant? Or should I go out and buy you some medicine right now? Duncan asked. Liberty Browncled, it's so late. The pharmacy is probably closed already. Besides, I'm in my safe period, so I don't think I'll get pregnant. Let's go to sleep. Duncan kissed her forehead. Good night, my love. Liberty closed her eyes, but that night, she kept dreaming that she was pregnant and gave birth to a daughter. Strangely, the baby didn't look like her at all. Instead, she looked exactly like Duncan. It's not that Duncan isn't attractive, he's actually quite handsome. It's just that the scar on his face makes him look a little fierce. In the dream, Duncan became a doting father, completely obsessed with their daughter. From the moment she was born, he barely let her go, carrying her everywhere. As a result, their little girl grew increasingly attached to him and only wanted her father. Since Liberty was always busy running the company, she chose to formula feed her daughter instead of breastfeeding, making it easier for Duncan to care for her as a stay-at-home dad. Unfortunately, this only deepened the father-daughter bond, leaving Liberty feeling a little left out. As their daughter grew, Duncan proudly carried her around to show her off. Whenever he met his friends, many of whom had only sons, he would parade his little girl in front of them, making them jealous. What a brazen boast, Liberty muttered in her sleep and laughed. Duncan half asleep nudged her, "Wife, what are you dreaming about? You look so happy." Still dazed, Liberty slowly opened her eyes and stared at the ceiling, taking a moment to regain her composure. Then it was just a dream. But the feeling was so real that, at times, she actually believed she had given birth to a baby girl. Married at first sight. Morning light filled the room. That night Liberty had a wonderful dream. Turning her head, she looked at Duncan and complained, "Why did you wake me? My dream was so wonderful. I wanted to continue watching her grow up, get married, and take over the business." Duncan blinked in confusion. "Who are you dreaming about? Sonny? Do you intend to let him take over in the future? Family has always been led by women, would they let Sonny take over?" "Probably not." Liberty shook her head. "No, before we fell asleep, we talked about having another child. Then I dreamed that I was actually pregnant and had a daughter. She doesn't look like me at all, she looks exactly like you. Every bit like you." Duncan raised his eyebrows in interest. "Of course, you're cute," Liberty teased. "You're not ugly. Before that scar, you were really handsome." She glanced at his unscarred side, he really was handsome. "Anyway," she continued, "you were so excited about our daughter that you carried her around with you all the time. You barely had time to work because she became your whole world. Sonny and I were both jealous of her." She sighed dramatically. "I have never had a real rival, but I never expected to give birth to such a person. Our daughter has completely taken over your arms." Duncan Browncled. "And the worst part," Liberty added. "You brag about her every chance you get. Every time you meet your friends, you brag about her. Especially in front of Zachary York and Josh, just to emphasize that they only have sons." Duncan laughed. "They won't beat me for that." "No, because they're nice people," Liberty said with a smirk. "But I was so angry in my dream that I finally snapped and called you a braggart. That's when you pushed me and woke me up. I didn't even get to hold my daughter." Duncan smiled. "So that's why you were mumbling in your sleep. If I had known you were having such a beautiful dream, I wouldn't have woken you up. you could have watched our daughter grow up, get married, and take over the family business. He leaned back, deep in thought. Then, when we retire, I'll hand over my business to Sonny. We'll travel the world with Zachary York, Josh, and our other friends, just a bunch of happy retirees. He glanced at her mischievously. Our daughter is adorable, isn't she? You said she resembles me, so I guess I should try to be gentler. I don't want her to grow up to be rude like me. Liberty Browncled. It was just a dream, Duncan. It wasn't real. But even as she said that, the warmth of the dream still lingered in her heart. Dreams often reflect the opposite of reality, Liberty mused. Since we talked about having a daughter before bed, I ended up dreaming about it. However, she decided not to take the emergency contraceptive pill. She would let things happen naturally. If I get pregnant, I'll keep the baby, she thought. And if not, there's still time to have a second one when things settle down. Many people today have children in their 30s, even their 40s. Since she has already had one child, waiting a little longer to have a second one won't be a problem. But if she waits until she's 35 or 36, it may start to feel like it's too late. She reached for her phone on the nightstand, checked the time, and sat up. What time is it? I have to get up. Duncan stood up too. I'll get you some clothes. Liberty shook her head and smiled. I have hands, you know. I can do it myself. However, when she took her clothes, she also took his clothes and gave them to him. The couple changed clothes, showered, and then went downstairs together. Duncan has been in rehab for a long time. Although he still can't walk completely normally, he has made progress. He can walk up and downstairs just a little slower and with a limp. At one point, Duncan worried about his future. What if he never fully recovered? What if he remained disabled for life? He asked Liberty if she ever resented him for that. Her answer was simple: if I cared, I wouldn't have married you. After all, when they received the marriage certificate, his condition was even worse than now. That reassurance put Duncan at ease, but it also strengthened his resolve. I had to continue my rehabilitation. I would not allow myself to become disabled. Married at first sight. Catherine was up and even prepared breakfast for the three of them. Hearing footsteps, she walked out of the kitchen, still wearing her apron. Catherine, good morning, Liberty greeted her. Have you made breakfast? We have a cook at home, you don't need to. Your wound hasn't fully healed yet, so you should rest. Catherine smiled. It's okay. It's not hard. Making breakfast is easy. Today was a special day. She and Pedro were going to register their marriage. Maybe that was why she felt so happy and full of energy, much more than yesterday. Breakfast is ready, she said. You two have work to do, so eat quickly. I'm in no hurry, I can eat later. She returned to the kitchen, brought out the breakfast she had prepared for two, then returned to clean up. After taking off her apron, she brought her plate to the table and sat down. Isn't Pedro coming to breakfast? Liberty asked. He'll figure it out, Catherine replied with a smile. Liberty Browncled. I don't worry about him going hungry. He wouldn't do that, Catherine said with a laugh. He told me not to make him breakfast. He wouldn't even give me a chance to take care of him. Liberty grinned. That sounds a lot like Versailles. We all know how much Pedro loves me, she added. No one loves me more than he does. Catherine's eyes lit up with joy. Yes. I chose the right person. After breakfast, Liberty and Duncan quickly went to work. Catherine returned to her room and spent a lot of time in her closet, carefully choosing her outfit. When she found the perfect outfit, she changed and sat at her dressing table, applying light makeup. She was not a stunning beauty, just a natural beauty. But in Pedro's eyes, she was the most beautiful woman in the world. With just a little makeup, Catherine transformed from a pretty girl into a real beauty. She carefully put on the jewelry Pedro gave her, watching it sparkle in the light. Just as she was getting ready, Pedro arrived. The moment he saw her, his eyes widened. She was wearing makeup and the jewelry he gave her, it made his heart skip a beat. Okay. Catherine turned slightly. How do I look? I'm wearing the jewelry you gave me. It's beautiful. I really like it. Pedro nodded enthusiastically. Catherine, you look wonderful. She laughed. You don't have to flatter me, I know my limits. I'm not a great beauty. At best, I'm pretty. There are so many beautiful women around me. Compared to them, I don't stand out at all. The two cousins, Hai Lang, Jasmine, Elisa, and the others were all extremely beautiful. Standing next to them, she felt that she had no real advantage. In my eyes, you are the most beautiful woman in the world, Pedro said without hesitation. For him, beauty is not just about appearance but also about the person he loves. He gently took her hand, brought it to his lips and placed a light kiss on her fingers. Catherine, I love you so much. Catherine smiled. You must have had honey for breakfast, your words are so sweet. She withdrew her hand cheerfully. Come on, let's go. We have an appointment at the civil service. She checked her bag to make sure she had all the necessary papers, then turned to Pedro. You have everything, right? Pedro took out his identification from a hidden pocket inside his suit and handed it to her. Here, put it in your pocket, don't lose it. After getting everything ready, the two held hands and walked down the stairs. But as they were about to leave, Holden Jansen suddenly appeared, blocking their way. Pedro stopped and frowned, aren't you going back to your hometown? Why are you here? Is your father-in-law here to cause trouble again? Married at first sight 4316 to 4320. If he continues to cause trouble, Catherine will eventually cut ties with him, and at that time, he will regret it, sooner or later. Catherine took a deep breath, got out of the car, walked in front of her father, and said coldly and firmly, Father, what do you want this time? I am not writing a letter of apology, Holden Jansen said, your brothers must pay for what they have done. Catherine frowned. So he was here for her brother. Holden Jansen looked at her intently, for a moment, he was stunned, Catherine looked so much like his late wife, her lips moved slightly, muttering, so similar, exactly like her. His daughter. The little girl's demeanor, personality, and even expressions are becoming more and more like her mother's. Dad, why are you here? Catherine asked again, ignoring his distracted mumbling. Holden Jansen returned to reality, the bewilderment in her eyes disappeared, replaced by sharp calculation. Are you and Pedro on your way to the Civil Affairs Bureau to get a marriage certificate? Catherine did not hesitate. That's my business. Last night he took me to see the fireworks, Holden Jansen continued, the fireworks lit up the entire Catherine sky for half an hour. Was it him? So what? Catherine remained indifferent. He is quite rich, isn't he? Holden Jansen has been by Clarissa's side for decades, but still doesn't understand how much the owner's multitasking assistant earns. But there is one thing he knows clearly. They are like money printing machines, never lacking money. Pedro gave him the same impression. This son-in-law of his must be very rich. And his daughter has money too. She is getting married. Since she is not taking over the Fong family and getting married, that means she will get married like everyone else. And in a proper marriage, there must be a dowry. Holden Jansen thought to herself, she was the one who gave Catherine life. Now that she was about to get married, shouldn't she at least give him part of the dowry? Maybe not all of it, but at least half. Holden Jansen doesn't have much money right now, which makes him worried. Although Catherine had assured him that she would not abandon him, would not let him starve, and would provide him with a monthly allowance, it was not the same as before. Unlike his sons, who gave him tens or even hundreds of thousands, Catherine only provided him with basic living expenses. When he heard that Catherine and Pedro were going to get their marriage certificate today, he immediately got up early and told the driver to take him home. He was determined to get there before they left, and he stopped them in time. "Dad, just say what you want," Catherine said impatiently. "Stop beating around the bush." Holden Jansen forced a smile. "Catherine, no matter what, I am still your father. I know I have done things that have made you angry, but that does not change the fact that we are family. You disobeyed me and gave up inheriting the Fung family's wealth and power," he continued. "Since you didn't take over, you don't have to follow their rules anymore. You're getting married now, not bringing a husband into the family. Usually, in marriage, the groom has to provide a dowry to the bride's family. Raising a daughter is not easy, you know." Catherine understood immediately her father was in no hurry to return for her brother. He was here for the money. No matter how much he has, it's never enough. He always wants more. That's why she didn't give him much money anymore, only providing him with basic living expenses, and even arranged for Pedro to directly pay the maid, ensuring that the money never passed through Holden Jansen's hands and couldn't be misused. Since getting married, Holden Jansen has never really had control over his money, which only makes his desire to get rich stronger. Even though his bank account was larger than most men his age, he still felt insecure. He believed that it was not enough to last him the rest of his life. He thinks he might live another 10 or 20 years. And as he gets older, his health will decline. The medical expenses alone will cost a fortune. Without money in hand, he felt insecure. That's why Holden Jansen always wants more. Married at first sight. Raising a daughter is not easy. Catherine agrees. The cost of raising children is huge. "But you didn't raise me," she said calmly, "you raised Marco." "I was raised by my adoptive parents. Before returning to the Fung family, I secretly gave them some money, as compensation for the years they took care of me. If I were more cruel, I wouldn't have given them anything. After all, if they hadn't done such terrible things to me, I wouldn't have been separated from my biological parents, abused for over a decade, or almost sold." By the time she became a teenager, her adoptive parents could no longer control her. But those 10 years of suffering had left deep scars. Catherine remembers everything clearly but without exaggeration. Her adoptive parents had secretly asked her for money, but she refused. She even warned them not to try again, and they didn't dare. They also approached Marco, but Marco hardly paid any attention to them. On rare occasions, she only gave them a few thousand yuan. She made it clear to her biological mother, she was not Catherine and would not allow them to bully her. Her mother had endured much, but Catherine refused to let anyone control her. Growing up, she fought back and she was ruthless. If anyone dared to bully her, she would chase them through the villages with a kitchen knife. In her hometown, Catherine is known for her fierceness. The Fung family thought that growing up in the countryside, she would be weak and easily manipulated. They were wrong. Holden Jansen was silent for a moment then spoke. "I may not have raised you," he admitted, "but I gave you life. I am your father, now that you are married, shouldn't you repay me for bringing you into this world? When your mother was alive, she didn't get to enjoy your success or see you get married. But I'm still here. So, shouldn't you show me some filial piety? If she were alive, I wouldn't have come looking for you." Holden Jansen raised Marco very carefully, cherishing her like a treasure. If things hadn't developed to such a tragic level, Marco would have happily been a filial son to him, and wouldn't have needed to worry about retirement at all. What a pity. Holden Jansen resented fate for separating him and Marco. He didn't want to believe that it was just bad luck someone was deliberately plotting against them. The incident not only destroyed his marriage, but also forced him to make a devastating choice. In order to gain his wife's forgiveness, he castrated himself. Although it saved his life, his health never recovered. But the worst part? He lost his daughter. The relationship between him and Marco was completely severed. She despised him, how could he not hate her? Both were victims. Those who conspired against them deserved a miserable end. At that time, his wife was still alive, he was afraid of her strength, did not dare to resist, he could not. In the end, he could do nothing but watch his beloved daughter fall to her death. Clarissa is too cruel. Although Marco was not their biological child, she grew up with them. Over time, without them knowing, they loved her like their own child. Clarissa once cherished Marco as a part of herself. But as soon as she discovered that Marco was not her biological daughter, she took back all the love she had given her for over 20 years, completely and without hesitation. It's not Marco's fault. She was switched at birth. She's innocent. Holden Jansen sees things differently from Clarissa, he still feels guilty towards Marco. But Clarissa? She only cares about the daughter who should be hers. Married at first sight. If Marco is innocent, then isn't Catherine also innocent? What angered Clarissa the most was not only that her daughter was exchanged at birth, but also that the people who kidnapped her did not even treat her well. If they had treated her daughter a little better, she would not have hated them so much. Someone else's daughter grew up in a state of disrepair, surrounded by wealth and luxury, while her daughter suffered abuse and was almost sold away. How could a mother not be filled with hatred after learning the truth? Holden Jansen's voice interrupted her train of thought. Catherine, we're almost ready to get the marriage certificate. I think you've already set a date. Don't let father stop you. Quickly give me the dowry. Once I give it to you, I'll go home immediately. This year I will not come to find you again. Catherine sneered inwardly. Once she got married and moved away from Catherine, her father would have a hard time finding her. He wouldn't see her unless she wanted him to. She looked at him coldly, isn't the dowry money for me? According to tradition, when a woman gets married, that money belongs to her. I didn't even ask my father for a dowry, so how can he ask for dowry money from me? Holden Jansen's face darkened, the engagement money was given to my parents. When my parents were financially stable, they didn't take the money from me and returned it to me. But I'm over 70 years old, I can't work anymore, and I have no income. Give your father the betrothal money. It will be my retirement fund. Catherine's expression remained cold. I gave Dad his living expenses. I know exactly how much money he has. Not just for a year, what he has now is enough to last him at least 3 years. The engagement money Pedro gave me is mine. I won't give it to anyone else. You can't force me. If you try, I'll have someone drag you out of here. Her voice turned sharp. Dad, I suggest you leave now before you make me angry again. She leaned forward slightly, her voice laced with a soft menace. Do you still care about your 3 sons? Do you want them to come out of this alive? If you push me too far, you will have no one to support you in your old age. And the money you saved, if I want it back, I have many ways to do it. Believe it or not, I can make you homeless and starve. Holden Jansen's face turned pale, her expression instantly changed from anger to fear. This daughter of his is very cruel, can do anything. But after rushing there early in the morning and returning empty-handed, Holden Jansen still didn't want to give up. After a moment, his expression softened and he spoke to Catherine in a soothing voice. Catherine, Dad doesn't need much, give me another million, I promise I won't bother you again this year. I don't have much money left. I've spent most of it running around taking care of your 3 brothers. The living allowance you give me is really not enough. Catherine, your mother left you so much property, a million is nothing to you, to others it is just a coin, do you really not want to give your father a coin? Catherine didn't say a word. She turned, got into the car, and pulled out her bag. After rummaging around for a while, she realized she didn't have any $1 bills. The smallest bill she had was a $5 bill. Without hesitation, she took out a $5 bill and gave it to Holden Jansen. I still want to give you a dollar, Dad. Here, you asked for a dollar, so I'll give you $5. No need to give me change, just consider it a little extra. Holden Jansen's face darkened. Catherine, I'm asking for $1 million, not $1. You said you wanted a dollar, right? Catherine sneered. So I'll give you a dollar. No, $5, actually. Don't want to? Then don't blame me for being rude. She pulled her hand back, stuffed the money into her wallet, and looked him straight in the eye. Father, you still don't know who I am? Do you really think you can get the dowry money from me? Married at first sight. Dad, give up on this idea. You will grow old and die naturally, but you will not starve to death. I will not let that happen. Catherine turned to the butler who had just stepped out. Send some men to eliminate him, make sure he doesn't get in my way. She had no intention of wasting any more time on her father. What was Pedro's was hers. And what was hers? It was still hers. If her father thought he could take her money, he was dreaming. Catherine, if you don't give me the money, I curse your marriage to be miserable. Holden Jansen shouted as the butler chased him away. Catherine's expression remained cold. Don't worry. My marriage with Pedro will be much happier than your marriage with my mother. Holden Jansen stiffened, her face contorted with anger and humiliation. Meanwhile, Catherine and Pedro got in their car and drove away without looking back. Watching them disappear into the distance, Holden Jansen muttered to herself, "The biggest mistake of my life was marrying your mother and giving birth to an unfilial daughter like you. But no amount of regret can change the past. There is no cure for regret, no way to turn back time. All you can do is live with the consequences of your choices." Preparing for the wedding. After Catherine and Pedro received their marriage certificate, they immediately started planning their wedding. After choosing a date, the couple flew to Wiltspoon with wedding invitations. When they arrived at Annenberg, they found out that it was the birthday celebration of Jasmine's son. Time flies. It feels like Jasmine just gave birth yesterday, but now the baby is already a month old. Since Catherine and Pedro did not receive an invitation from the Butchum family, attending the celebration party in person was not an option. Instead, they waited at the Farrell family estate, waiting for Audrey to be invited back. The Farrell family's butler called Audrey to inform them of their arrival. Audrey immediately understood the situation. She remained calm and simply said, "I know. Miss, what's the matter?" Serenity sat next to Audrey, noticing his aunt's unusual reaction, so he asked worriedly. "Jasmine has just completed her postpartum confinement period. And soon, Serenity will also have a baby. Lately, Zachary York hasn't been sleeping well. It's not insomnia, he's just afraid of sleeping too deeply. He was worried that if Serenity went into labor in the middle of the night, he wouldn't wake up in time. As soon as she turned over in bed, he would immediately ask if she was okay, afraid that she would give birth prematurely like Jasmine." "Catherine is here," Audrey finally said. "She's waiting at my house." Serenity nodded. "My sister told me that Catherine and Pedro have already registered their marriage and are currently preparing for the wedding. They are probably here to distribute invitations." She sighed. There was no way she could attend Catherine's wedding. Her due date was too close. Her sister had planned to attend in her place. She would bring a gift, have a drink or two, then rush back to Annenberg. By then, Serenity was close to giving birth. Her sister was worried about her. Since this was her first child, she was very worried, and her sister didn't want to leave her alone. Audrey finished speaking, her expression softening. "Your sister mentioned this to me over the phone not long ago. I told them that if they really wanted to invite me, they should come in person instead of conveying the information through her." Her usual cold demeanor melted away when she talked to her granddaughter. Elisa often joked that ever since her mother found her two nieces, she, her biological child, had been pushed aside. They must have come here to invite me this time, Audrey added. Serenity smiled and asked, Miss, can you come to the wedding party for a drink? Married at first sight. Audrey glanced at Serenity's belly and said, This afternoon, I'll go home to check their wedding date. If it coincides with your due date, I won't go. When the time is right, we will send a gift. But when you give birth, I will definitely be by your side. She gently held Serenity's hand and added, You should go out less now. Walking a lot during the last stages of pregnancy will be tiring. I haven't been going out much lately, Serenity replied, even when Sunny goes to kindergarten, Zachary York has someone pick her up. I don't do that anymore. I probably won't have children anytime soon. She touched her belly. Everyone who saw it said that the baby was not born yet, so it was not time yet. 35 weeks already? Audrey asked. I remember your baby is about a month younger than Jasmine's. She was born a month earlier. Otherwise, she would have been born around this time. Serenity nodded. She was 35 weeks and 3 days pregnant at the time. Now, she goes for prenatal checkups every 4 days. Zachary York, who had never been lazy, had significantly reduced his workload to focus on her. Her grandmother, mother-in-law and sister-in-law also returned from Butcham Villa. One reason was to attend Jasmine's son's full moon celebration. The other reason was that Serenity was entering the final stages of her pregnancy. This was Grandma May's first great-grandchild and she loved him dearly. Everything is ready: maternity bag, baby essentials, and more. Zachary York bought a lot of baby clothes, blankets, and bottles. Whenever it was sunny, he would hang the clothes out to dry, saying that they smelled fresher. Better than using a dryer, he said. They smell like sunshine. Now, even before their child is born, tiny clothes fill many closets. After giving birth, you need plenty of rest. Rest for at least 6 months before returning to work. Don't rush back to work too soon. Childbirth takes a toll on a woman's body. If you don't recover properly, the effects can last a lifetime. Serenity smiled and said, Auntie, I haven't given birth yet. I know, she added, but I understand all this. She had taken care of her sister during the postpartum period and knew exactly what to expect. At this moment, Josh carried his son downstairs, next to Jasmine. Jasmine looked healthy and well rested. During her confinement, she ate well and slept well. The baby was being taken care of by Josh, her mother-in-law, and the nanny, so she didn't have to worry much. Her only job was to rest, eat, and recover. People gathered to see the baby. Serenity was pregnant, so she stayed behind, not wanting to get caught up in the chaos. Audrey also held her hand tightly, making sure she didn't get involved, worried that someone might accidentally bump into her stomach. Not long after, Jasmine and Josh arrived. Serenity, Jasmine greeted her with a bright smile. Serenity reached into her pocket and placed a red envelope into the child's small hands, which she had prepared in advance. The baby is dressed in brand new clothes, clothes bought by the grandmother. According to tradition, newborns must wear new clothes from their grandmother on the full moon day. It's asleep, Serenity said, gently touching the baby's soft, brown cheek. The baby boy has put on several pounds since birth and is clearly very well cared for. Yeah, Jasmine said with a smile, eat, sleep, wake up to poop, eat again, then sleep again. Very easy to take care of, almost never cries or makes a fuss. It was obvious she was very proud of her gentle little child. In fact, Jasmine barely needed to take care of the baby, he only needed to find her when she ate, sometimes he even gave her formula, she didn't even need to wake up for him. Serenity glanced at his friend. After many years of acquaintance, Jasmine immediately understood this look. She touched her face and asked, Serenity, have I gained weight? Not fat, just a little round, Serenity said with a smile. Jasmine sighed, I must be fat. Eating, sleeping, waking up and eating again, like nourishing myself with my son, if I don't gain weight, it would be strange. She took the supplements daily and recovered well, but the extra nutrition caused her to gain weight rapidly.